If you don't prioritize life in the right way, it can't show up for the rest of the world, your family, your work, or nothing. The human system is infinite potential, but not just infinite potential. It can take a load that you never really fully understand. But if you live in a triggered state or a state of just pure comfort, you're not building those skills and that capability. I reframe, you know, suffering and failure and pain and discomfort as pathways to growth. I don't run away from them. I lean into them. We're not here to survive. We're here to thrive.
Amen. Yeah. Right?
And the only way to thrive is to move out of comfort.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in.
Have you ever looked at someone that has done something really extraordinary? Maybe it's in the physical side of things, and you just think, gosh, I could never do that. Well, what if you really could do it? And you thought about it just differently? Well, I have a guest on today that I think will help you reframe how you think and hopefully help you see that you too can do extraordinary things. This is the Visibly Fit podcast, and I'm your host, Wendy Pett. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to have my guest on today. Joe Gagnon is driven by simple mission. He is amazing. He loves helping people realize that they are capable of far more than they believe is even possible. Over the years, he has led 6 companies as CEO, coached top performers, and pushed himself to physical and mental extremes, completing, get this, 6 Ironman races, running 100-mile ultra marathons, finishing 6 marathons on 6 continents in 6 days, that's right, and completing the legendary Badwater 135 Ultra Marathon through Death Valley. As CEO of Rainmaker, he leads the development of an AI-powered sales platform designed to help small businesses grow faster and smarter. As a high-performance coach, he partners with bold, ambitious leaders to break through their self-imposed limits and lead lives filled with purpose and greater impact. Joe's life and his second book, Living Intentionally, which is what we're going to be talking about, are rooted in the belief that growth happens at the edge. It's living in the uncomfortable, uncertain, and transformational moments that we find out who we really are. That's what he says. And the principles of grit, grace, and groundedness guide every step that he takes. And he encourages you to do the same. Whether he's building a company, whether he's mentoring a founder, or speaking on stage, his goal remains the same. And that is to inspire others to live intentionally by design and not by chance. Enjoy this incredible podcast. All right. Well, welcome, Joe, to the Visibly Fit podcast. It's a joy to have you here.
Wendy, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. And I am delighted to have you because our mutual friend, Robert Cheek, sent me your book, Living Intentionally. And as you know, I read this on a recent flight when I was traveling, and I thought, man, this is such a great book. You put your heart and soul into it. And as we all know, there's nothing new under the sun, but man, the way you package this through your experiences and through how you've lived your life is just so unique and so different. I'm just so impressed. And I just want people to get to know you and to know your heart and to know that you are quite the athlete. And first of all, I'm blown away because you are the only person on the face of this earth that we know of that has ran 6 marathons in 6 days on 6 different continents. And whoa, like, I don't even know where to start. Like, what even got you into that place of, I think I'll do this crazy challenge?
You know, I always, if I thought about, you know, adventure and being an explorer, you know, everyone says, you know, don't describe you by your title, describe you sort of by who you are. I always was curious as I was growing up about these big things, like, you know, even traveling to California would have been a big idea when I was growing up, or You know, there are people who climb Mount Everest, but these were never going to be possible. I sort of started off as a pretty average kid, grew up in the New York City area. You know, when I graduated college, I had nothing going for me. I wasn't a college athlete, high school athlete. First job was less than inspiring.
What was your first job?
Oh, I worked in the mayor's office in New York City as a financial analyst.
And okay. Well, beats McDonald's. Like, yes. Okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I was making $7 an hour as a professional. It was like $14,000 a year. And I always tell people, you know, like first week of my job, my car was stolen. My girlfriend broke up with me and I had so little money, I had to move back in my parents' basement. So
it was a country song. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really like not this auspicious start. They would end up with the things that I ended up doing. But I always sort of felt like don't make it an end, make it a beginning, you know, wherever we are in our lives. And even then I can remember like, okay, if you're going to stay stuck here, then you're just stuck here. And I didn't like that feeling. So I got into the work world and, you know, the longest story short is the next 15 years, I just basically worked as many hours as I possibly could, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. It didn't matter. I was learning, I was growing, I was starting to make money. I got more promotions. I ended up in a big firm. I became a partner. But what I was starting to do was just fall into a trap of only thing I needed to do was work and try and validate it or legitimize it by making money. You know, you can only look at your brokerage account so much. And so, you know, it's almost 20 years into it, I started to feel a bit empty. The little story is I couldn't win an arm wrestling match with some guy I should have been able to beat. Couldn't run a mile. I had never written a paragraph other than, I don't think we had emails at the time. And so I said, this just isn't okay. And so I left that big firm after 10 years. It took a massive pay cut. I started to reframe. I went to a startup that had no idea what I was doing. And it was the beginning of the breakout. And so I set on this path. I knew that I had discipline because I was able to do the work. But then I had to put the discipline to the rest of my life. And so I found out this was the sort of the irony of the whole thing. Is instead of working 70 hours, if you worked 50, you had 20 extra hours do something with. And so I started exercising. I started to think about what I was eating. I stopped drinking alcohol. And this is like every year I'm taking on a new challenge. And I had this sort of crazy like moment where I said, I should write this down. And Wendy, I've been writing down what I've done every day for the past 25 years. So I've kept track of this log. And it was actually fun. It was like, oh my gosh, I did this or I can do that. And so just kept building and building. Long story short, like I got to a point where I had started to run marathons. I was doing Ironman races. I was doing ultra marathons. And I thought, you know, I'm going to write a book about living a high performance life. And the high performance life would be driven by this sort of same discipline I took to the work. With here was to becoming an athlete. I had become a writer. And so just kept building. It was like layers of a cake. I just kept putting more layers and layers on this thing, a strong foundation. And I thought, oh, I should have a way to end the book. And like, how could you end a book that would be keep people interested? And I was like, oh, what if I do something big and us, you know, back to like everyone does the same thing, you know, it'd be great to climb Mount Everest or maybe even row across the Atlantic. But what I thought was I was really good at running at that point, and I was really good at travel because I had traveled 5 million miles around the world for work.
Wow.
Done a lot of overnight flights. And I had friends all over the world. I was like, I wonder if I could construct this idea of doing marathons across the globe in a week. Like, because I could take a week off. I couldn't probably justify more than that. And so it was, I think I wrote about it this way, but the minute I thought about it, like it made me afraid in a good way. Mm-hmm. Like I was like so afraid that I desperately wanted to go find out what it would be like. It's like, oh my gosh, if it makes you feel like that, then don't you want to go do it? Took 9 months of planning because there's no route, you know, like, and where do you start is even the most funny thing. Started in Australia, then I went to Singapore, then I went to Johannesburg in South Africa, then to London, Sao Paulo in Brazil, and then to LA, Los Angeles at the end. And it was like, I think 35,000 miles of flying. Wow. And I didn't lay down for a week, right? Because I was sitting in coach at night and I was running in the day.
Wait. Okay. So first of all, I have so many questions because I know the audience is like, wait, stop. Because first of all, I need to know, are you married at this point? Because it takes a lot of training and a lot of mental fortitude to kind of go through with this? And also even just how old were you? There's so many things I need to back up on. How old were you when you started running? How old were you when you started to write? Like, was this 25 years ago? Because again, you started this little slow drip process, this conquer and layer kind of process. So when did all this start?
You know, it's a great question. The breakout was when I turned 39. And so I was married, still am, same person. So as long as we say the miracle, you know, she's put up with me and tolerated me. And we have two beautiful girls who are adults now, and they just got married. And so, but I think underlying the question is the following, like, you know, if you want to have a partnership with someone, you have an open dialogue. And when I had sort of told her, you know, because she tolerated my work, she didn't really want me to do that. She said, but whatever you're choosing. When I started on this path, she's like, you know, just want to understand what you're doing. So I said, how about if I get up earlier in the morning, you know, instead of getting up at 7, what if I get up at 5:30 and I can use that hour and a half for me? She's like, I don't care what you do at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, she's going to be sleeping. Yeah.
So, but it was this very clear set of expectations that we had between each other as to what I was going to go do, which is why we're still together. We've always had this open dialogue. So no one's trying to be performant for the other. We're actually trying to both support each other and let the other person be who they are. So at 39 years old, I ran my first mile. I had never really done anything before that. And so, yeah, when you add up to 25 after that, I don't understand age really, you know, because it says I'm 64 years old, which feels like...
It's a state of mind, yeah.
I feel like I'm 45 kind of thing.
Excellent.
You know, if there was anything that could even mean what that would mean, you know,
right.
What would someone feel like at that age? But it means that I have resiliency and vitality. I have a lot of endurance. I have nothing of the aging kind of complex. Like I've run 55,000 miles since I was 39 years old, and every bit of me feels fantastic. You know, like on my 7-mile run this morning, it's great. So yes, stayed married, you know, helped the kids grow up into independent, beautiful people, but was developing myself. I think, Wendy, the thing that I'd love everyone to take away from is if you don't prioritize life in the right way, a lot of strain happens. You have to take care of yourself first. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can't show up for the rest of the world, your family, your work, or nothing. So it's you first, family second, work third. If you think about what you make work first, you turn into nothing, right? You then are stuck. And that's what I had to unstick myself.
Right.
And
we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but we can't love our neighbor unless we love ourselves and take care of ourselves. Right.
Right. Which is the irony of that sort of way of thinking. Like, well, how would you treat someone else if you don't treat yourself well?
Exactly.
And so I did start to look in the mirror and said, I'm not sure I like what I see. Mm-hmm. So then why don't I just use time and my discipline and opportunity to learn as the method to rebuild myself.
That's so cool.
And if you have patience, you're like, look, let's just say that a bunch of people will have 80 years to live or 90 years to live. Like, I don't know what we're rushing toward. And when you get there, you want to be ready. So give yourself time. You know, it could be 15 minutes of yoga, walking around the block. You know, it could be reading. It could be learning how to do breath work. It could be so many elements that actually start to help rebuild and reset. We sit on a power base that I don't think we fully understand. You know, the human system is infinite potential, but not just infinite potential. It can take a load that you never really fully understand. But if you live in a triggered state or a state of just pure comfort, you're not building those skills and that capability. And that's what I found. And it was really self-reinforcing. Mm-hmm. Both the spreadsheet and what I found I could do really started to make me like feel even better. And I was like, oh my God, like, you know, someone says, why do you live this way? I said, if you could feel this good, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a key part of the experience.
Well, the human body and the human experience is so amazing, but we tend to get caught into that, I don't know, that trap of comfort and that kind of thing. But you were not there. You had a different mindset. And again, this started at age 39, where you just had to look in the mirror and you're like, okay, I'm ready to change and do something. And that just took literally one step at a time of change. But we're going to go back to that in a second, but let's take us back to the airplane where you're sitting, and you don't lay down for 6 days and you are running marathon after marathon. First of all, I can't even imagine how you survive that and not getting any sleep, because that's such a stressor on the body. How did you, I mean, I would think, oh yeah, definitely go first class, lay down, get some rest, have a good meal, you know, recharge, refuel. I'm just curious what that experience was like, sitting in a middle seat and not laying down.
I think that mindset is more powerful than you could ever imagine. You know, I did write about this in the book. You know, when I started the journey, I wrote down that the lows would be the highs, that I would go out and seek how bad could you feel and how could you appreciate that? Like, I reframe, you know, suffering and failure and pain and discomfort as pathways to growth. I don't run away from them. I lean into them.
You know, you said it's actually the very thing that shapes us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you live in this state of fear of what it might feel like versus this, like, oh my God, I would love to know what it feels like. Then when it happens, it's like, oh, okay, sort of right. Yeah. So it's a little bit uncomfortable. You know, maybe a little tired. I was so jazzed up that whole week, you know, and I had become plant-based, you know, I wasn't drinking alcohol. So everything is just me optimizing my system so we could handle this load. But I walked in, like, I finished that week thinking, when is the hard going to start? Now, I'm sure that this was hard.
I mean, I'm already thinking you're superhuman, but this is good.
Yeah, but we all are.
Yes.
We are. This is a choice whether or not we want to sort of be curious enough to know what it feels like, so that once we do, we can say, you know, I did okay. It then empowers you to do it again, right? And, you know, I'm not really much for quitting, you know, because quitting lasts forever, as the saying goes, and pain is temporary.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be a quitter. I'm like defining who am I and how do I want to think about me and how do then I want to show up for the rest of the world? Like, if Wendy said, hey, Joe, can you do this for me? I want you to feel confident that you know I will if I say yes. And the only way to get there is to have made that commitment to myself with no one else around. The integrity of the choices I make define who I am.
That's powerful.
Right? That's the power, though, that we all have. That's not privilege.
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. And I think I mentioned before the show that my audience is a Christian audience. And so, you know, we are told in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, or we have the mind of Christ, or, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. I mean, there's all these things that we know, but we're not stepping into. And so what you're saying is, step into that, because that is who we are. And for us not to operate on that higher level is selling ourselves short, so to speak, and selling our creator short. And so you are a big proponent of having a deep rooted why. And so am I with my patients. But one of the things that you said in your book is, you know, your why isn't just something you put on paper. It's a battle cry. And I underline that twice, like, boom, boom, like, yes, it is a battle cry. Like, that why has to propel you to keep going. And so what was your ultimate why, and what keeps you going day by day?
Yeah. First, I think you're right. You know, whether it's the faith that we have or sort of the generally high level principles that we know exist about health and wellness and living and treating others. Like, so I don't think we have to imagine that. Like, we have resources that can tell and guide us. And then the question comes down to, you know, why are we here and what are we setting out to do? And so as I grew up, I think your why can change in your life. You know, when you're in your teen years or in your 30s or in your 70s, it doesn't have to be like there's only one purpose that you ever had in your life. But ever since the past 15 years, my purpose has revolved around service to others, so they can feel, so the energy that I have to make themselves lean into their potential. And so I want to serve everyone here as a servant to make you realize, like, why wouldn't you want, like, you don't need a lottery ticket. You are a lottery ticket. Cash it. Use the resource you have. Like, lean into it. And so, but, you know, it came from my parents were in the service world. My dad was a social worker. My mother worked in the Child Protective Agency. They, in the Center for Aging, you know, they helped people who needed help. And I want to do that because I sort of needed help. The only thing different was I had to find my way out of it, out of the hole that I had dug for myself.
Yeah.
And so it probably took me longer. So imagine, Wendy, if you or I can help others get there faster.
Yes.
Like then they don't have to have so much struggle. Maybe it doesn't take 25 years. Maybe it takes 5 years. Wouldn't that be more amazing? So I have no other reason to exist other than to serve everyone around me. So my answers are always yes. I never lead with no. I don't even know what that word means. If you ask for my help, I'm always in all the time. I've never run out of capacity or interest because the most exciting thing for me is to give. That's what makes me feel. It's like so selfish to give is the turnaround, right? It's like, no, I don't want you to give me anything. Actually, I want to give you everything. And boy, when you start doing that, it like when we say, what does feel good mean? Like there's a human biology that works in our favor, right? You know, all these bio neuromodulators of, you know, like serotonin and oxytocin and all these things that are the reinforcer when we start to do it. So you do feel different. Mm-hmm. And so I think it is sort of sad if you have some religion in your life and you don't live to it. Like that seems wrong, like, you know, mm-hmm. And so maybe we are stuck. So let's unstick. That's why I wrote the book. Really, at the end of the day, it was like, okay, Joe, like, what else are you going to do? You know, so you've got this great life and some people know you. You need to put the time in to sort of say, what did you learn? How? Because there's a lot of failure in that book, right? So it's not all like, oh, it all worked out beautifully. And I had to look myself in the mirror quite a few times, you know, whether
as we
it was,
all do. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's okay. Right.
Yeah,
this is like
yeah.
But then when you get that going, it does reinforce because you never want to go back to the other way. Like the comfort, you know, I like to tell people that, you know,
comfort's an illusion.
Well, it's a state of survival. We're not here to survive. We're here to thrive.
Amen. Yeah. Right?
And the only way to thrive is to move out of comfort because the body can just survive for some period of time because it has these two states. But why would you operate in that state? You'd want to operate in a thriving state. And, you know, I like to tell people, like, if you want to just start on the path of embracing challenge, like when the next time it rains, go outside and stand in the rain without a jacket on, walk around for a little while, get soaking wet, and you'll get back home and you'll change into your warm clothes and you'll realize you survived and nothing bad happened. And then maybe you'll be like, you know, maybe that's a metaphor for life. Maybe it really isn't so bad and we just overdramatize it.
That's good.
Like get really curious about what it would be like. And you're like, oh my God, what if I could go do that? And then, like, everything is just open at that point.
Then you're going to be like Wim Hof running up mountains without shirts on and who knows, right?
You don't.
In the cold. Yeah. I mean, the body is and the mind is very powerful. So I love that you put it all into words and express yourself so well. You do have pillars that you like to take people through, and they're five pillars. So do we want to kind of walk through these philosophies, these pillars to help people and inspire them?
Yeah. I'm going to start with one thing that precedes the five pillars, which is that I think about a week and you have 168 hours in the week and that's your currency. And so anyone who is sort of wants to have a breakout moment, take a piece of paper, like you don't even need a computer, and write down Sunday through Saturday and write down the hours of the day and track for 1 week what you did materially for that week. And at the end, then the next Sunday, sit down with yourself and look at it and have a cup of coffee or a tea or something and say, how do I feel about how I spent my time? And is it building me to where I want to be? If you really, really love it, great. Most times.
To be honest with yourself. Yes.
So then you're going to say like, oh boy, I think I need to reframe. So then you want to think, okay, give me the simplest model possible. And I say there's five pillars. These are as simple as they get. This is about our nutrition, our exercise, our sleep, our mindset, and our community. And then think across the 168, how would you use those pillars every day. Like, how am I doing with my nutrition today? How am I doing with my sleep? How's my mindset? Am I exercising? Am I showing up for my community? If you just move it up a little on each of those, week after week, year after year,
that 1%.
The foundation is like you're building a skyscraper.
Yeah.
These aren't complicated. And it isn't about perfection, by the way. Like,
that's right.
Food. There's 21 meals in a week. Like, how about eating good 17 of them?
That's like, good, Joe.
Like,
yeah.
So what? Four of them. I don't care. Eat ice cream and pizza. Like, do whatever the heck you want. But you can't do that 21 meals and then you sort of wonder. Like, if it's in a package and you can't read the ingredients, ask yourself, why are you eating something you don't even know what it is? You know, like,
right.
Little by little, like, even Walmart sells organic foods now that aren't that expensive. Like,
right.
There aren't any excuses. So nutrition matters. Exercise. Our bodies are made to move. You know, everyone tells me I should take a day off. You know, Wendy, for all intents and purposes, I've worked out 9,000 days in a row. I've gotten to 20,000 hours across those 9,000 days. And I feel more vibrant with more vitality and more energy than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, a body in motion stays in motion.
I am not broken. I am nothing like that. Oh, maybe I don't sprint 100-yard dashes anymore. It's probably not a bad idea because that's when you get hurt. But just movement, the body is made to move. Mitochondria increase, red blood cells increase, our neurons will increase, our muscles will increase. Like, this is what happens. It's just made to get better. And then sleep matters, you know, but you got to get yourself calm so you're not triggered, so you have good sleep, which is about exercise and nutrition starts, your mindset. Like, you know, one of my favorite lines in the book was Professor Yalom said, you know, we have to basically stop trying to make a better past. You know, like, let's get out of what happened and into what's happening and the future, present and future. Sure, we all made a few
faux pas. Let go of the trauma and dramas. Yep.
You know, little t. Turn it all into a little t. It's not a big trauma. It is our life. We were there. Maybe we felt, you know, I don't know, whatever. Like, I was picked on in high school. Sure. Great. I was.
Yeah. That's so was it. I. Let's join that club together.
Right? And then the community. Like, we get power out of the people we hang out with.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be phone call or an email. Or maybe we show up. And so, excuse me, if we take these five pillars and think about our currency of time, we have made a massive leap forward in terms of our ability to turn ourselves into this intentional life.
Yes.
And after we did that for a while, then we can step back and say, maybe I should look at my why. And that's in that first chapter. I gave people questions to ask themselves and processes to follow so you could sort of figure it out. But it also means you got to embrace discomfort. You have to think about failure as fuel, and you have to understand that suffering is about meaning. We have just reframed those words in the wrong way in life. And if we can change the way we think about them, oh my gosh, so much is possible.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's all about the reframing of words and what we think about them. I mean, just even the word discipline, people are like, ooh, discipline. Well, discipline is good, you know? So I think it's just, you know, how we were brought up. And again, those power, the power of words and the way that the power that we've put behind certain words. And so we just have to reframe them in order to show up differently. So, you know, you... have been plant-based, and so am I. I've been whole food plant-based for about 15 years. I actually got started because I read the China study. Actually, I listened to the China study, and I listened to it over and over again, and that's what got me on that path. What got you on that path? And I want people to really hear out that you are whole food plant-based, and you were eating this way as you did these six marathons in 6 days and on six continents. And so, a lot of people think, well, you know the thing. Where do you get your protein and how will you have energy and blah, blah, blah. But I want people to understand that your body heals incredibly well when you are on a plant-based lifestyle. But let's talk about how you got started with that to begin with.
Yeah, I think we all sound like geniuses after we figure it out. I wasn't such a genius in the beginning. It was... In the beginning, like, so I could say, oh, I've reduced my inflammation. Well, I didn't even know what the heck that meant. So,
this is the buzzword, yeah.
All I knew was that in the beginning, when I was eating red meat, I was getting sick. My stomach, I couldn't digest it, hurt. It's painful. So I stopped eating red meat. That was sort of easy. It was like, you know, take the poker out of your eye.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to really push hard on my performance when I started with Ironman. And so I started to think about what was impacting my ability to go faster. So actually, I took out the alcohol pretty fast because there's no way poison helps you go faster. And I could stop, like, if I didn't have a beer, because I drank certainly enough in my early part of my life. There's no question. And I was not the smartest person. Boy, am I glad I stopped that. And so once I did that, then I realized that everything else I was putting in me, like back to like, you know, Dr. B always says you're going to put 88,000 pounds of food in yourself in a lifetime. Like, it really matters. I started to realize that what I was putting in me was mattering. That's what was easier to digest every time I took, like, and mine was a journey. This was not like I woke up, stopped smoking kind of thing. Well, I never smoked, but you know what I mean? Like,
right, all of a sudden,
yeah. So it was the chicken and the turkey, and then I took out the pork, and then I took out the fish, and I just kept going and going until I found, like, wow, it's doing pretty good. I like it. More choice, feel better. Digestion's better. Sleep is better. Performance
recovery
is
quicker.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, my God, my recovery. I just ran a 135-mile race through Death Valley, and I recovered in 24 hours. So I don't know.
You just did? Just recently?
In July. Yeah.
Oh, my. Death Valley.
The bad water, 135.
So that was hot.
Yeah, 120 degrees.
Oh, my gosh, Joe. You are so inspiring.
But this is what all of this does, though. Like, it creates this. Like, I wrote about in the book, like, you have an F1 car you leave in the garage. You know, you got this power and you're like, yeah, but if only I could win the lottery. Like, why don't we just personalize it instead of depersonalize it? And the same with food. And I think, Wendy, all of us who are in the plant-based community are not saying that everyone has to eat 100% plant-based.
Right.
Because that is a personal choice.
Sure.
But the more, the better. The more, the better. And you will find your pathway, but you got to start. You cannot just, and by the way, there's more protein. How does an animal become protein? It takes carbohydrates and protein and turns it into protein. So that whole process is sort of somewhat silly.
Debunked, yeah.
But the plant has a lot of protein. We just have not been educated that way. When we built the food pyramid, we did not say that plants had protein.
Right.
We only said that meats do. So that's what we learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up in an Italian family. We literally ate meat all the time. 10 years after I was plant-based, my mother still asked me, would you like some chicken?
Oh, my parents still ask me every time. And they know, but they still ask. Maybe she's changed.
But you just have to be certain of your why. Back to that. My why was performance. Then it became caring about the planet. And I couldn't handle, love the animals and taking care of them. But what about the workers in these facilities? Like, it was all so many factors that you're like, is there a way to argue against this? Like, I don't really fully understand. So, but in the beginning, you got to have a strong conscience because the world is going to push against you. Like, I once went and ordered a Thanksgiving dinner and said, you know, because the vegan word is always very off-putting. I'm sorry, it just is to the world. I don't know why. I don't know what the heck vegans did to justify it. But someone said to me, what do those people eat?
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
Those people.
Like, yeah. Like,
we eat food.
I was like, sure.
Real food,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's so much under the surface kind of conversations around that word. And that's what's the put off, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
On
amen
some level.
For that. No, but my point is that it is choices. We don't treat the people who make the other choices poorly.
Right.
So let us all make food choices. But by the way, if it was one of the five core pillars, you better really think about nutrition if you want to build a strong body. I don't know anyone who wants to show up at 65 years old, stuck in a chair and can't do anything.
No.
Or 75.
No,
or
it's
dead.
Like future pace your life. What are you going to be like in 10 years if you continue down this path, right? I love the Game Changers movie.
Yes.
Of course. And that's a great example of showing how strong athletes you know, can perform well and recover quickly by eating
Dr. Loomis wrote an endorsement for my book.
Yes, he did.
Just thinking about this, right? So in a couple of weeks, my son-in-law, who's 30 years old, is running a 100-mile race, and he's asked me to be one of his pacers.
Wow.
Right? Like, he would normally ask a bunch of 30-year-olds, but I'm in the crew because he knows I have the ability at 64 years old to support him in
That's
his
cool.
race.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to earn something in your life, how about you show up then? Like, how much of a privilege that is. I earned my way for
right
a weekend
on.
With him, my daughter, and their friends. Everyone's going to be in their 30s.
And that's something money cannot buy.
No.
Like, that's
no, literally.
Exactly.
They can't ask anyone else, right?
Yeah.
Because they haven't earned it. So it's lived and earned experience. That's mm-hmm. what this is about. Now, so that's why I bet on both the philosophy and then the pillars and then me. Mm. Like, that's what we got to build. And it doesn't start day one. Remember, I will keep telling people, I started pretty, you know, humbly, right? With nothing going for me.
And at age 39.
Yeah, right. It's never too late, right?
Right,
no.
Right.
No, it's not too late. No.
Yeah. Well, that's so inspiring. And, you know, so much of it, I just think, is between our ears. And it's the head game. It's the we're not reframing certain things. And so what would you say to someone who has just really just been stuck? And, you know, of course, you'd say, go read Living Intentionally,
sure.
Because it's a great book. And I would say the same thing. But
Thanks.
What would you say to someone just right now as they're listening, just saying, but Joe, you don't get it. You don't get mm-hmm. it. I've been through this, that, and the other. And maybe they're really overweight. They're sick. They've got dis-ease in their body. What would you say to them? What would be that first step you would tell them?
Well, I would actually ask them, are they prioritizing themselves in their life?
Hmm.
You know, and I would mostly answer, I think mostly people would say no. I think the second part of that is this, whose life are we living? Are we living the life everyone tells us to in the narrative that's been put out into the social media world? Or are we living the life that we want? And I think, so the first part is just a little bit of reflection that says, I'm not really sure that I actually was the one who decided where I am. Forget being a victim. I want to be a thriver.
Yeah.
So I think the first part is just this self-evaluation, which I had to go through too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do a lot of coaching. I'm sure Wendy, you do the same thing. And I talk to a lot of very, what we call successful people. And then I say, oh, by the way, are you happy? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, what about doing something about it? Well, I can't. You're like, well, how about we start with 15 minutes? Like, can we do something with 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, let's make this very achievable. Let's build a pattern of success. Let's decide that all of those people telling us to do something, whether in the commercial world or our family, you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't know that they're guiding us in a good way. Secondly, the minute that, you know, we go away, they forget about us. So, like, mm-hmm. the only one who really should take care of ourselves is ourselves. So that's part one. Then it's to build a success plan. So, you know, I like to set a spreadsheet, a piece of paper, a computer. If you need an accountability partner, like another person in your life, just start writing down your commitments. Start framing success by just little things. You know, like back to like, I would love everyone to take 1 hour a day for themselves, you know, and that's not watching Netflix. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah.
Across some of the pillars. And the hour is too much. Take 15 minutes a day for a week and start to see what happens with little changes. You know, it is not a rush. I don't know as bad a situation as anyone's in. It took us a long time to get there. It's going to take us a while to get out.
Just
start hanging
out.
Give
yourself permission to go through the process. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you don't need permission from anyone else, by the way.
But yourself. That's right. That's right.
Hang out with people or, you know, read about people who do things that you find interesting and intriguing, you know, start to shift the mindset away from sort of the trap that we've somehow created for ourselves in this community, broadly speaking. And then celebrate. Celebrate when you accomplish something. Make yourself feel good, you know, have a little party. And for the first 10 years of that journey that I was on, no one knew what I was doing. I never said anything to anyone. Because first, I didn't think anyone cared. And secondly, it was about me because I was trying to rebuild myself. Now,
you
yes.
You weren't after it for the accolades.
No, and the likes and all that. Mm-hmm. Now I am telling the story more broadly because I do want people to hear about the possibilities and what can happen when one sets out. Now, look, I could give you a plan for the next 25 years and you would be pretty darn good, whoever you are, like if you were willing to commit to that. But like, what else do you got? What else do you want to do over the next 25 years? Like, why don't we build the strongest version of ourselves that we ever can? Because I promise you, while I can't tell you exactly what it'll feel like, it'll feel better than you feel today. And you will not want to ever go back to the life that was suboptimizing your potential. It isn't a judgment. That's it. This is like, imagine someone gave you $10 million in your bank account and you could never use it. And you never used it. And you died and it was there. Well, you have that power. You have $10 million of power inside you. Spend it.
Yeah.
Use it.
Like, slide into home base.
Don't
run those races.
Like the next lifetime, maybe there is one, but like we're in this one. So let's live it big. And oh my gosh, I would love for the whole world to do all the things that I've done. That would make me the happiest person ever.
Of course. Right? Of course. But you are a giver and you want to give them a healthy plan and so that they can have a healthy life. And so I love what you stand for. I love what you're all about. I could keep you here all day because you're just fascinating, and I want to just kind of get inside your head a little bit more. But I just am thankful that you are an example to help people understand that you too can succeed. You too can go after big, audacious goals and accomplish them. You too can just start today by putting a plant on your plate and it could change your life forever. You know, just those simple things. And so you coach people quite a bit as well, right? More in the more athletics or more in the...
I do a lot of entrepreneurship coaching for early stage entrepreneurs trying to build their businesses. They don't have a big support system. Really, the truth of the matter is anyone who wants to improve their performance, I spend time with them because I've had the privilege.
Because you don't say no.
Right. Yeah, that's true too. but if you want to step into that, then you have to have walked the path many times over. And so I've been CEO six times. You know, I've raised money for companies. I have traveled the world and worked in around the world, all 45 different countries, all the states. You know, I've done all this physical activity. I've explored a lot of it. So I do feel very competent to help people.
You've earned it.
And I think that, you know, look, curiosity has been one of the magic elements of my life because the more that I want to know, the more that I learn, the more that I want to know. And so sometimes we should just ask, like, I wonder if, like, what would that be like? Oh, I want to find out. Even looking up a word and what it means, like, trigger the brain state of activity. Get into the prefrontal cortex. There are so many parts of us that
Bring
are just
back
waiting
the curiosity.
For, yeah, be curious.
No, that's so good. I think, you know, we're curious as children, and it comes natural. But as we age, we start to stifle that little child.
We crush it out of people.
Yeah. Just like with you, with working so hard and you kind of lost your sense of humor. And I think a lot of people are in that state where they're just kind of, you know, going through the motion every day, doing what they have to do is what they think they have to do. And they say they have to and that they can't. And they use all these kind of words, right? Instead of I get to and I can and why not? And those kind of words. So it's really just a reframing, but I appreciate you so much. And where can people go to get your book? It's brand new and I highly recommend it. So where can they go and get Living Intentionally?
Amazon's easy enough, right? Living Intentionally, Joe Gagnon on Amazon. I have gotten quite, you can actually read some of the reviews. You'll see as this combination of a lot of people who know me, who have talked about impact I made in their lives. And that's what the book is supposed to be for everyone who maybe I can't meet. I even put my email address in my book, so you could email me directly, jgagnon232@gmail.com. I write a blog every day, Wendy, for 4,600 days in a row on living the high-performance life. And so that's now on Substack at Joe Curious. Not surprising. You know, the at sign Joe Curious. I have a website, The High Performance Life. .net. And then I'm on Instagram at The High Performance Life. And so there are lots of places to find me. I don't hide. Of course, I'm on LinkedIn for business owners and Joe Gagnon. So my hope is that, you know, you all feel inspired to just lean into your possibilities and your potential, and that this radical positivity that I walk around with every day is open for everyone to get to. It's not proprietary. It's not mine. It's in all of us. It's just right. Let's unleash it.
I love it. I love it. And I will put all of the information in the show notes so people can find you, because you are such a giver, and we appreciate that, because this will help people get to their next level of healthy living. Now, as I wrap up this interview, I just wanted to ask just something fun. What do you like to do with your family or on your own that is like something besides, endurance running or any kind of thing like that? Do y'all have something that, do you play games as a family? I know you have adult children now, but do you and your wife like to do something special?
Every year, first Saturday of December, we've had a holiday party for 35 straight years. And we spend days and days planning a menu. We cook for 2.5 days. We make this extraordinary meal so people can experience sort of a different level of cooking and food that they might not. And we surprise them a lot. You know, we have made, like a old park out of jackfruit.
And so I've done that. That's so good.
So it's exciting. We love to entertain and make people feel good. So that's one thing that we do. But we also, both of my daughters work for not-for-profits. And so we spend a lot of time helping and supporting not-for-profits in the local community. One is around getting outside with the Volunteers for Outdoor Colorado. One's the Greenway Foundation, which helps educate children on the environment. And so, we're all into the sort of let's help and give back kind of life.
I love it. The more that we can be like that, the better we are as a community and as a society. So thanks for leading by example. All right. I appreciate you so much. And I hope to have you on again sometime. Because again, I could just talk and talk with you. But again, go get Living Intentionally on Amazon. And God bless you, Joe. And thanks for all you're doing.
Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Take care. All right. Are you as inspired as I am? I mean, that was an incredible interview with Joe. And he is living proof that you can get out of your own way and start accomplishing great things. And so he started a little bit later in life. If you're starting a little bit later in life, that's okay. You too can just start with doing one small thing at a time. And then who knows, if you want to, maybe you'll be running ultra marathons as well. So again, go to Amazon and get Living Intentionally. I believe that you will appreciate this book. I have so much underlined. He is just very wise, and I love the way he just kind of, you can see all my underlines here, like all my scribbles. He just lays this out in such a way that is palatable, and I think you'll really appreciate it. So again, go to get Living Intentionally, and it's How Intentionality Enables Success, Fulfillment, and Growth. And you can get that on Amazon. Also, I will have all of his links in the show notes, so you can check out Joe there as well. And as always, if you are looking for a program that works, go to getvisiblyfit.com and check out my Visibly Fit 7-week accelerator program that will assist you in getting healthy in mind, body, spirit, emotions. There is modules with education that you will learn about food, nutrition, all of it, exercise, mindset, all those kind of things are packaged into a video that you would receive each week. So education is important, right? And then you have community, where we meet each and every week, where I will be coaching you to your next level of success. There's meal plans, grocery list recipes, over 65 plus workouts in the training modules. Anyway, it's packaged really, really well, and it's packaged for your success. And you will be involved with a group of people that have already been there, done that, and have succeeded, and they will help encourage you along as well. So I love our community, and you'd be a part of that as well. So let me know if you have any questions. Again, go to getvisiblyfit.com. You can use your HSA and FSA account to join. So what's stopping you? You can do great things. Let's do it. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Visibly Fit, and we will catch you next time. Be blessed.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.